Good morning, everybody. Well, it was quite an interesting night last night. It was really, really awesome. And we talked about the Lord's grace. You know, I mean, we really did. We talked about how good the Lord is. And how His grace is sufficient. And we, as people go about, we yet put ourselves in a position where we don't yet receive that grace. You know, we have it given here right to us. It's a free gift. We couldn't earn it. But the Lord's going, here, I'm trying to give it to you. But yet we smack that gift away and we try to go about doing it ourselves. Yet over and over and over again. You know, I was talking with Kat last night about the Lord's grace, and one of the places where He met me was at the end of a drug binge. It was pounding drugs in my arm for days. It was a couple of days locked up in the room. And yet there was a time and a moment where I thought I was about to die because it was just way too much. And I could not say, all right, I had enough. I could stop. No, it was already done. I had way too much. And I was kissing death right there. I mean, it was right there. I thought my heart was going to explode. And then at the midst of that, I cried out unto the Lord. And said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. And it was instantaneously, it was like I was sober. And I didn't die. And I know that was Him meeting me in just an absolute bad place. I was thinking about Matthew, now I'm thinking about Romans. Where He said, Christ died while we're yet sinners. Not when we had it all together, not when we had it all in one sock, not when we, none of those things. No, when we were yet sinners, Christ died. Not when I was making it to work on time and I was keeping my job and paying my bills. No, when I had lost everything because of my own stupidity and my own rebellion against Him. And I cried out unto the Lord and He met me there. He met me there. In that place. And we know, we all have an experience of that at some point. At least I hope we do. And you don't have to get to that point to repent and turn to Him. That's not, you know, I'm stupid and hard-headed and an idiot. And you don't have to wait to get to that place to turn to Him and repent. But a lot of times, and I was talking about God's grace, and it was in the midst of that time, that place right there. Look, I knew the Lord had yet forgiven me, and yet accepted me, right there, right after just pumping loads of stuff in my arm, and right after just rebelling against Him in His way, right after all those things, the Lord yet forgave me and accepted me as soon as I turned unto Him. And He healed me and removed the toxins. I didn't get sober by accident. Absolutely. And what we do as time goes on and we receive this, at some point we think what we do makes us yet righteous. I mean, we get caught up in these things. At least, look, I know I do. And yet at that place, at that time where I was, I was actually in a better place. Better place than somebody that's saying, I don't need God. I got it together. Look what I have done. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Because I have done this and that and brought up a neighborhood and I have done these great things. And it's no different than Matthew where you say, Lord, Lord, have I not done many wonderful works in thy name? And he will say unto you, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That means pride. That means I can do it. That means I can satisfy. That means I'm good. That's the pride there. That's the pride there. And yet the Lord, nobody can do it. That's why he went and did it for us and paid that price. And it's that gift right there. He's giving it to you. It's free. It's just that if we have that we're righteous or we're good or we're justified in these things, we actually keep from receiving that grace. We keep ourselves from receiving that. And it's easy to fall into. It's easy to fall into. You know, I was talking about, you know, till yesterday at work was just one of those days where absolutely busy. Absolutely getting hit from every direction. Had tons of things to do at one time. And yet in the midst of those things, I'm sitting here frustrated. I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm justified to be frustrated because, you know, all these things are coming down the pike on me at one time. I mean, I can't handle these things all at once, and this is frustrating, and I have that right. And no, I don't. Quite frankly, I didn't. And you know, I was looking at the ability of which I could do it, and then I couldn't. But if I was trusting God for His grace and His sufficiency, and just went to Him like I did that night, and said, you know, Lord, there's just a lot of stuff coming down my pipe, and I can't handle it. Lord, help me. Lord, I lift this up. You know what, Lord? I trust you yet in the midst of these things. And choose Him in the midst. I'm sure things would have been a little bit different. Don't you think? Has He met me there before many times? Absolutely. Absolutely. So yet, am I going to take Him at His word? Am I going to believe and the sufficiency of what He's done? But the Lord's good. Amen. Pretty much that's what I have for this morning. Actually, you know what? I want to turn to one other place. That's Matthew chapter 23. Verse 25. And it says, 23:25, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Look, a lot of times you can get wrapped up into this so easily. so easily. You're out there, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing these things. Yeah, but what is yet your motivation in these things? Is it one of pleasing the Lord? Or is it one of justifying yourself? I mean, because the Pharisees had this law that they performed, and by that law they based their righteousness on how good they can follow these things. And they based that their righteousness was on that themselves and what they could do. And here the Son of God is coming down to them and revealing Himself to them, and yet they reject Him. But you're only saved by Him. And they didn't want to lose their position. Yeah, we got to understand, you can do two different things with two different motivations. I mean, it could be the same thing with two different motivations. And one can be absolutely justified, and one can be absolutely out of just pride and iniquity. And the Lord discerns between the two. The Lord discerns between the two. When the Lord came down to the Pharisees, He very much well discerned those things and brought those things to light. And what happens with us? The Lord comes down, and yet He discerns those things which are in our heart, and He brings that which is to light. Does He not? Does He not? And that's a good thing. We say that, hey Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And then yet He goes about performing a clean in us a create heart, and we're going, ah man, that's, wow, oh, stop, please, ouch, oh, that's ugly, I don't want to see that. Is that not how it pretty much goes? Lord, I want to be made perfect in love. Okay, here you go. Well, Lord, I didn't want that. I'm just answering your prayer. I'm giving you opportunity to love all day long. Here's your chance. Here's your opportunity. But Lord, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Right? Lord, I know tribulation works good, and I want to be right with You. And then I go to work and have tribulation time. Lord, what's going on? If You trust me, I'm just trying to show You. Did I not get You through it last time, Philip? Well, yeah, Lord, you did. What's the deal? Why are You still yet in unbelief? But Lord, what? You know, so we have these opportunities every day before us to get that inside cleaned out. And not relying on that justification of our own works or what we have done or what we have brought up or any of those things. None of those things justify you. The only thing that justifies you is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. We've got to get that straight. You can do a thing and loving God in it, and being obedient to Him and loving God in it, and that's a praise God. That's loving God. But you can do a thing and be an absolute, just absolutely, because you are justified by what you did, and be absolutely wrong and be the two same things. The same action can be done and be dead wrong and dead right. So when we say that, create in us a clean heart, and yet He puts that light on us, that's just opportunity for you to say, yay, Lord. That is yet just opportunity to see, use to see those justifications and how you thought you were justified in these things, and yet say, you know what, Lord, I was wrong in that, and I'm sorry about that. Here, Lord, take that. I don't want it. And He's good. He's God. A loving Father that sent His Son to give you the free gift that you don't have to burn. Don't you think He'll take those things off you if you're about Him? If you're about choosing to do His will and getting this thing right with Him, don't you think He'll take those things away? He will. He's asking for just a little bit of trust, man. He's asking, He wants to bless us, and yet we're hanging on to that old nasty steak bone. He's got a freaking filet mignon here waiting for us. But before we can grab that filet mignon, man, we got to drop that nasty old ratted up, chewed up T-bone bone. That's nothing. Nothing on it. And that's that self-righteousness. That's that justification. That's that thinking that we can do it. And it's all just filthy rags He's trying to say. That's what He's trying to tell the Pharisees. Look, guys. You're right. You're not righteous. You can't be. You're dressing yourself up and basing your righteousness on the law. And look, that doesn't suffice. I am the provision. I am the way. I am the life. It's me. And I'm standing here right before you, bringing that light to your heart. And what He's saying to them. Yeah, they put counsel to put Him to death because they did not want to see that. They did not want to see that. So let's go. Let's let that go, those justifications. Let's let go of that old bone. And let's receive the goodness of Jesus and what He has for us. Let's try Him. And in the sense of trying Him is try to actually just trust Him. Actually put your faith in this Word and what He has done for you. And make that choice. And look, let me tell you, if you have a hard time making that choice, or you even struggle with that, tell Him. He'll meet you where you're at. Tell Him where you're at. Tell Him your motives aren't right. So, Lord, my motives aren't right. Lord, I've had a bad attitude. I don't like it. And I know it's all over me. Tell Him where you're at. Give it to Him. He's there to take it away. Let's get honest with ourselves. Let's just get honest with ourselves. Before Him. You can just be you. You can just be you and Him, man. You can talk to Him. He's there. Gosh, He ain't giving us this free gift for no reason. He didn't come and die on the cross and hung there. Just so that we don't have a chance. That's not it. He's not this mean God that's ready to strike you down at every bad move. He's the loving Father who in the midst of absolutely no hope in my situation came down and forgave me and gave me hope and delivered me. He is one loving Father. Let's not block that grace anymore. Let's receive it. Let's not justify ourselves anymore. Let's receive it. Let's let not our works be righteousness or think it's righteousness. It's not. It's filthy rags. Don't let that thing be the justifier of you. Let it be Jesus. Amen. That's all I got.
You know, the good thing is, while Lord met Philip down there in a bad place, and that was gracious and merciful of him, you don't have to wait to get there. You can meet him now. And why? While it's free to us, it cost him his son. It's been one of those kinds of weeks here. I've been fighting a bug. Ministering opportunities keep coming, and then a bunch of hardware quits working, and that's all always so much fun, and it all comes down at the same time. At the point I can do nothing, I trust the Lord and call Linda for help. And Linda comes, and it was easier than it could have been with the facilities, internet, and whatnot. But it makes it a tough week. Now, I am just as confident that I did some of it right as I am confident that I did some of it wrong. But I'm also confident the Lord is bigger than my wrongness, and He's even yet able to redeem the wrongness. And if he wasn't that good, I don't know that I could go on. Amen. This is a morning when I really started thinking about his promises and the kind of statements that he makes that are the most faith-inspiring in me. Let's go to Second Peter 1. And there's a long passage here. It's a good passage. I don't want to read the whole passage. I just want to look at one verse. Yeah, I'm plucking it out of context, and that's all right. It stands alone. It doesn't need to be in context. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We're not con artists. And this isn't just one of those great stories. It's real interesting if you tell it fast and often enough. And this comes from one of the apostles who was an eyewitness, and an eyewitness to the natural eye. Didn't have to have spiritual insight to see that he was a natural witness to Lord's majesty. Let's go to the third chapter. I really only want one verse out of this one too, but I think I'm going to read through it till we get to that verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I'm going to give you the Paul Muller paraphrase of that. Time is a creation of mankind, so he could map his life out. The Creator of all things is not limited by time or distance or physical laws or any other contrivance that works against man in his natural state. No limitation, none of the same limitations that are on us. So that's one of the reasons why we can't understand or perceive him with the natural mind. The next verse is where I wanted to get to. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not one of his promises is he slack in. And I sit back and I think, from the time he told Abraham to get out and leave everything, to the time Abraham got out, and got into the land he had showed him, was a long time. Is there any testimony of Abraham anywhere in the Bible that talks about his acts of faithlessness or disobedience? What is the testimony of Abraham and Sarah? Obedient and faithful. That's right. That's the testimony. If we were making that judgment, we would, dumb? What a dummy. You know, that's how we are. How could you do that? That's not how the Lord operates. The Lord's patience towards us and His long-suffering are examples of 1 Corinthians 13 in operation. And if we didn't have that working for us, we'd be destroyed. When the kings in Israel were doing the Lord's thing, the nation prospered. And he established, the Lord established their power and established their authority. When they weren't doing the Lord's thing, the enemies seized their authority and their power. And on occasion took them into exile, made them slaves. I know as ministers that when we're doing the Lord's thing, the Lord establishes our authority and confirms His word. When we're doing our own thing, then we confirm our authority and we try to confirm our word, and we do all kinds of things that hurt people because we operate out of pride and presumption and arrogance. I've been in that position in both places. And I have to tell you, that the damage you can do when you're trusting in yourself, it's no different than Cain offering the cursed sacrifice. It's no different. When I'm ministering the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ, then I don't have to tell anybody how good I am, or that they should listen to me or respect me. The word of the Lord does that. And if it doesn't, I'm wasting my time anyway. But he gets you stuck on chasing after things that are, you know, white rabbits. Chasing after rabbits. What's the point? Running in circles. Wasting your time. And you end up disconnected and cut off from the one who's supposed to be giving you life and light and what to minister. Which means, and that by this point you're in a panic. You don't have any security that you're ever going to meet the Lord again. And if the Lord wasn't merciful and let you fall flat slap on your face in failure, you'd never be able to get out of it. It's just like pumping drugs into His arm. praise God, he was able to cry out to the Lord. Praise God, the Lord intervened. But what makes any of us think we're any better than that? I'm here to tell you right now, if I didn't know his promises were real and true and available, I quit. Because this is just a joke. But the testimony of this writer, Peter, is, well, listen, this wasn't just a swift story. Something that sounds good when you read it to 5 years olds. Wasn't a fable. We saw this in operation. We know his majesty and his authority and his kingship. And we know his love. And if we let him and lay down our lives before him, he will do likewise in us. He will let us partake of all that is him. He'll give us keys to the kingdom, a promise of inheritance. Powerful and cleansing gospel message to share with other people. You treat us like the fathers of loving children want to treat their children. Because his promises are sure and his love is complete. His mercy and long suffering endureth forever and ever, and his mercy's new every day, and it's new every day because we need it every day. We don't come by righteousness naturally. If we could do this on our own. This is good news, people. It doesn't matter how tortured and tormented and angry and disconnected you woke up this morning, when you just like filled with the smack in the arm or a coke in the arm or whatever it was at that point, cry out, not a combination, cry out to the Lord and he'll meet you. He'll restore you. He'll heal you. Just like the prodigal son. Welcome him back. Celebrate. Because he's good. His gospel is truth. He died for us while we were ungodly, while we were enemies, while we were yet sinners. That's how good his love was. Receive it or re-receive it. Get on your knees in your closet. Become partakers of his goodness. His loving kindness, his patience, and then extend it, share it, and he pour more of it into you, and you can share that too. And we all are ministers in that. It's all about other people and loving one another. And being different, being peculiar, as Peter refers to us. Some of us are peculiar for other reasons. I would rather be peculiar because my faith is so peculiar in this age amongst these people. I'm done.